ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba.
What happened to you in between the regular radio show and the stream?
I got older and wiser.
Actually, it seems like you got younger and stupider.
Thank you. I wouldn't discount that. There could be some truth to that. Sure. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, a younger, stupider Bill Leff. And, of course, you know Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. You can call us if you know the number.
Do you?
Yeah, here it is. It's 312-235-2525. So dial that up, 312-235-2525, and we'll talk to you if you like.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Ryan Burrow right now because Ryan has traveled to Cleveland, Ohio. The Facebook killer is no longer a threat. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you doing?
Just wanted the complete update on this. And again, I need to apologize for when this story broke. I clicked on a link thinking I wanted to watch the actual Facebook Live video where Steve Stevens killed this poor gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened where it didn't show it to me. And then I never went to seek it out again because I thought that was just the divine intervention that I shouldn't be watching something like that.
Don't worry about it. I'll save it for you. He walks up to the man, asks him to say his girlfriend's name, essentially saying, "This is the reason why I'm doing this to you," and then he shoots him at point-blank range. You don't really need to watch it. In fact, it's been pulled down from Facebook. A lot of conversations will happen as a result of this about Facebook and what can and can't be posted and how quickly these things will be taken down. But the news of the day today is that this man, Steve Stevens, there's been a 48-hour manhunt for him since Easter, is dead. He was killed in Erie, Pennsylvania, about 100 miles away, about an hour and a half drive from Cleveland. A little bit over an hour and a half drive from Cleveland. And apparently someone spotted him, alerted police. State police weren't too far away, only about 2 miles away. Found the vehicle, started a small pursuit, and then tried something called a pit maneuver. And if you're familiar with what that means, it's kind of when the an officer would tap the back end of a car that's being pursued, forcing it to kind of veer out of control. And at some point, while it was veering out of control, Steve Stevens fatally shot himself in the head. And actually, a police cruiser ended up slamming into Stevens' vehicle after that, but the officer was not hurt. So the search is over. Big relief for the people here in Cleveland. Imagine knowing that there is a killer lurking around who said he wants to do it again. It's been really nerve-wracking over the last 48 hours here in Cleveland. Last night I was hanging around the Q, Quicken Loans Arena, where the Cavs play their playoff game against the Pacers. The bars were virtually empty. Imagine Wrigleyville without anybody in the bars during a game. I mean, it was a ghost town.
Ryan, unless this has changed from last night, this man, Steve Stevens, had no real criminal record to speak of whatsoever, right? Has that changed or is that intact?
None at all, no. And no criminal record, had some traffic tickets, really no history of violence. Even family members seem shocked by this. Co-workers seem shocked by this. It came out of left field for a lot of people, and that may have been one of the reasons why it was so difficult for police to track this man down. Even though he posted something to Facebook, they didn't really have a history or a background on him. They didn't know where he was going. And even about 2 hours before this final press conference in which they announced his death, they were struggling. They didn't know where he was. They didn't know if he was in Cleveland. They didn't know if he was elsewhere. There was a nationwide manhunt going.
Right.
They didn't know if he was alive. They didn't know if he was dead.
So, Ryan, is this, I guess this is fairly obvious, but was this some sort of quest for fame to do this? A guy with no criminal record? Why would he just snap like this, do you think?
You know, that's a great question. And,
yeah.
Well, you know, the police have said that they don't find that to be a viable motive. Now, that may be just them trying to coax him out, clearly it wasn't a scenario of a robbery. It didn't appear to be terrorism related.
Yeah.
It must have been domestic in nature, whether it be financial, which is brought up, whether it be the girlfriend, which is brought up, family, which is also brought up. Seeking fame, we don't know if that was a reason why. Now, the police chief came out and said they would have liked to take him alive. Then they could have sat him down and asked him what this was all about.
Yeah.
You know, why did he go through with this? But they'll never get that chance.
It was scary when the search spread out to various locations. I can't even imagine going out of your house thinking that this guy might be there. So it's no doubt all those bars were empty.
I talked to a woman who was selling hats just outside of Progressive Field where the Indians play, where the Cubs won their World Series is what I call it. But she was out there selling hats, and she said during the day she basically pinned herself against the wall until customers approached because she didn't want to make herself a target by hanging out on a corner or hanging out in the middle of a sidewalk and, you know, be at risk of dying the same way that Robert Godwin died, just essentially walking down the sidewalk, coming back from celebrating Easter with his family.
That is such a tragic end. It really is. And then I heard a quote of some family friend saying that Steve Stevens was such a warm and caring guy. I don't care what he was. It didn't matter now. Why even put that out there?
But, you know, this is part of the confusion. I mean, what would cause a guy to snap? I mean, everyone kind of sits back and they may know someone in their life who they're like, oh, you know, I'm a little nervous about this person. That didn't seem to be the case with Steve Stevens. Now, there were some stories that came out afterward of maybe some things kind of cropping up in his life in the last year or so. But other than that, it doesn't seem. And even if you do watch the video, if you have watched the video, his demeanor is so calm.
Like laid back.
It is. You know, he wasn't, while he was kind of ranting, it's not like he was wild-eyed and, you know, shouting at the top of his lungs or anything like that. He was having a normal conversation and saying, look, this is what I'm going to do. And this is the reason why I'm going to do it. It's because I'm angry about my girlfriend, angry about my finances, things like that. And he said it very calmly. It'll be an interesting case study, I'm sure, for psychologists moving forward.
There was a story in USA Today earlier today about this. Now, at the time this was written, Steve Stevens was still on the loose. They couldn't find him. But the story has to do with how the family of the victim, this is Robert Goodwin's family, says that they've all talked it over and that they forgive Steve Stevens for killing Robert Goodwin. It says the family of an Ohio man whose killing was posted on Facebook says they forgive the alleged killer who's being hunted nationwide. Again, remember, this was written before they found him. Each one of us forgives the killer, the murderer, Tanya Goodwin Baines, the daughter of 74-year-old Robert Goodwin, told a Cleveland television station on Monday, we want to wrap our arms around him. The suspect, Steve Stevens, is accused of killing Goodwin. This is a father, Godwin of 10 and grandfather of 14. Cleveland police said that Stevens posted video of apparently random killing on Facebook, and it was later removed. A son, Robert Goodwin Jr., says, Steve, I forgive you. I'm not happy with what you did, but I do forgive you.
How does that happen so quickly? I realize that later on, after it's processed and after you're over the shock, you almost have to forgive or it's going to ruin the rest of your life. You're always going to have that inside of you.
Yeah.
But right away to be able to say, I mean...
I wouldn't have that in me. I don't know how people do.
They said, the family said that, you know, he was their spiritual inspiration and that's what he would have wanted. You know, I think we all can take a look at our own hearts and think to ourselves, if that was my father, if that was my grandfather, would I be as willing to forgive?
And, no.
You know, the other thing
not
is, too, well, the other
quickly.
Thing is, too, you know, I mean, until you go through that, you know, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, there are a lot of people who are probably hearing this right now saying, oh, absolutely. You know, you're supposed
cool.
to forgive. And that's it. But, you know, I mean, unless you're in that situation, I guess you never really know. And this family decided that's at least the front they were going to put forward. And that's what they were going to pursue. Some of them, I mean, you are talking 10 children and 14 grandchildren. And there was a mix of emotions there. But as a family, that's what they came up with.
Ryan, you're probably too young to remember this. Wendy, you probably remember this because we're about the same age.
You're
older.
There
was a time where a guy tried to take out the Pope. A guy tried to assassinate the Pope. And I remember the Pope meeting with him and forgiving him. And I thought to myself, maybe if
this
I was the Pope, maybe I could forgive somebody that took a shot at me, tried to kill me.
And he didn't die.
But I don't know that I would have the ability to forgive somebody who took out somebody
ever?
That meant... I would lean towards ever.
Yeah. See, but that's what I mean. If you carry that in your soul forever, you
it's
will,
acid.
It
I
is.
Know, I know.
It will ruin you. So
right.
At some point, you have to,
yeah,
I don't
I
know
guess.
About forgive, but just,
nah.
I would still question it every day. Well, the good news is he's been caught. He did not kill anyone else. That was scary to me, although I didn't feel he was going to.
It seemed at one point like the fact that he was hiding so easily and that he wasn't just, you know, continuing the killing.
Right.
It seemed to be a good indicator. And remember, too, I mean, he said he had killed 13 people before killing Robert Godwin, and that turned out to be false. At least according to police, they have not uncovered anything that links him, Steve Stevens, with any other killing. So from that perspective, it's good. Now, let's take a step back, though, and I do want to say, and they did bring it up, look, there are hundreds of unsolved murders.
Right.
What made this one so unique? I mean, you had an elderly man walking who was fatally shot. I mean, that happens quite frequently in Chicago, as we've learned. Not just elderly men, but young men and you know, innocent bystanders. And what made this so unique? It was the fact that it was broadcast live on Facebook. And B, was the fact that the man had threatened to kill again. And FBI analysts say that was kind of the trigger that brought this up such a high notch to being a most wanted person, was the fact that this person killed and said, I'm going to do it again. And, you know, it seemed random.
Yeah.
It seemed, you know, the motivation was questionable. But, you know, the fact that anyone could just go up and just randomly start shooting brought this and escalated this for the FBI.
So unpredictable. Ryan, don't you think that whenever they have one of these big manhunts, that once they identify the person, once they get a name, that's like the biggest clue you could ever ask for? Because then they could go to all the people that person's had any kind of an association with in the past. It just seems like they're usually much easier to find once they've been named, don't you think?
Yeah, and that's a great point. And just think about the situation right now in Delphi, Indiana. You know, two teenage girls found dead near that hiking trail, and all they've got is an image of a person and a voice. You know, a very narrow, you know, a piece of evidence there, but they don't have a name. And it seems as though that is stalled out.
Solved, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It will be. It will be someday. And, you know, the question is when, obviously. Just like Brown's Chicken and Pasta, just like Lane Bryant, just like all of these other kind of long-term, like Sycamore, like that story that's been constantly going on from 1957. It will get solved. It's just a matter of when.
Ryan, thank you. We know it's an uncomfortable scene there, but we appreciate the report.
No problem. Hope to be back tomorrow.
All right.
And remember to always tell, you know, you never know. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So be nice to people. Tell people you love them because you never know what's going to happen.
You guys want any
Cleveland Browns swag while I'm here?
No, I'm good.
Drew Carey bobblehead?
I'll take a Bernie Kosar jersey.
They've got is Vinny Testaverde. All right.
If that's what it comes to. Ryan, thank you. I love you. All right. He didn't say it back. Kevin, run the tape for me later. I don't think he said it back.
But seriously, you never know. You know, I know this. We get like this sometimes, and I apologize when we get like Mr. and Mrs. Depresso here. But, you know, as we have birthdays, you start thinking, I want to be around for my kids to have kids,
right.
You know. There is no guarantee.
Right.
Like, you keep thinking of older relatives or somebody who's in their 90s, and you're like, wow, that's only less than 40 years away for me.
I know.
But I could die tomorrow walking out on the street, so you never know.
Can I throw an even more depressing thought your way? I can see you're depressing and raise
you
an
know
even
what
more
I
depressing.
Mean?
Like, for a long time, I'm going, I've lived more than half my life. And then it hit me a few days ago, I'm probably at more than the two-thirds mark at this point. And that's not good.
But you can't think about that. And you're the one who put this stupid, depressing idea in my head. You were not apprehensive about turning 50.
You were mean and bitter.
And you said to me, listen, no birthday presents.
Right. Don't mention it.
Yeah. I'm not being mean. I'm being 100% serious.
Yeah.
Don't bring it up. I'm not happy about this. But then, like, once you hit 50, it's the apprehension of turning 50. And then after you've hit it, it's like, oh, I feel the same as I did 10 years ago.
Yeah, but it's that number, you know, because when you were a kid, if somebody said, hey, you know who's coming by? Some 50-year-old people, you'd go, oh, really? Some old people? What are we going to have, hard candies and watch Matlock? You know,
I am starting to get a hankering for a root beer barrel.
And Matlock is on at 4:30 if you want to come
by.
Well, all right. We got that going. All right. Stick around. There's more coming. We hope. Who knows? At the age we're at, we might not come back.
You didn't say it back to me.
I'm still upset about Ryan Burr. I'll be honest with you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, that I like the music.
Isn't that nice?
Instead of coming
very
back
upbeat.
Live. Yep. Do you do that all the time here on the stream?
You mean bump?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wendy,
yeah.
There's no rules on the stream. Anything goes. You can do anything you want.
You've depressed me. You're the one who said, as you were approaching 50,
yeah.
I'm just sad because, you know, you weren't even sad. You were angry because half your life is over, and now you made it even worse.
Here's the upsetting part, is that we've been told that when you're, like, 50, that that's midlife. People go, oh, you're at midlife. You're midlife. Well, no, because many people do not live to be 100. I'm going to. That's
you're not.
My, I'm going to be 100.
I'm telling you right now.
No, I am. I signed a lease. I get to be 100. but really, midlife is like 35 to 40. That's your midlife. Is 50 is, you know, you're halfway to one.
How does that make you feel, Judy?
Halfway to the grave?
No, no one said that.
You'd already be dead.
Yeah, in the old days,
50, they'd be like, "Wow, he lived."
You'd be the oldest person on the planet at 50.
My dad died at 46. My mom died at 59.
Wow.
Yeah. So I am.
You're on borrowed time.
It's weird, though, because when I was 10 when my dad died, and Michael was 10 when I was 46, so he was very worried. And I didn't know it until I turned 47, and he said to me, "Oh, I'm glad that year's over with." I'm like, "You're kidding. You were worried?" He goes, "For the whole year."
Yeah. Aww.
Isn't that wild?
Yep.
So now I got to just make it to 59, and I've bypassed my parents.
That's your goal.
I don't know if I'll make it.
Oh.
I think you will.
I don't know. Las Vegas odds, Jude. Did you see the odds?
Keep up those vices. I think you are
right.
Good to go.
But you never know, because there are people that are just so careful about what they eat and how much they exercise, and they don't smoke and they don't drink.
And they drop dead running path.
Jim Fix.
I'll never forget that.
The guy who was the patron saint of running and
being
healthy.
He started it all.
Yeah, but then there's other stories like Jack LaLanne, who died a year or two ago, was 193, and that guy was in, like, the best shape ever.
He still looked great.
Yeah.
So. That's what I mean. It's a grand scheme
there's
of things
no
that we have no control over.
Exactly.
Right.
When your time comes, it comes.
Right.
So do what you want.
Yeah.
Your level seems kind of low, Kev. Can you pump yourself up? All right, speaking of the Blackhawks, and I have a terrible name for Pekka Rinne.
Can you say it on
I don't know
the
if
stream?
I should say it on the
say
air.
It, say
oh,
it. Do
say it.
Do it.
We'll stand behind you.
You would be so far gone, I don't trust you at all.
And I would never say it, but go ahead, say it.
Well, it's based on his first name.
Pekka.
And then,
he was named by Regis Philbin. Hey, Pekka. Where's Pekka?
Head. There, we did it together. That's what I'm calling him.
Are you calling him that?
Yes, I'm mad at him.
That's fighting
words.
He's
like, honestly, and I, Corey Crawford, God forbid, he does not get enough respect for being a great goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I know he let a lot of them through in the last three games, but
nine
he
of
saved
them.
A lot as well, and
yes.
He's really, he needs more credit, but looking at Pekka Rinne.
He's had a really good series.
He's really amazing.
Yes.
He's like a machine.
Yeah. It's not
eyes
fair.
In the back of his head.
I don't know how he's doing it. I believe
he's
someone
obviously
is,
he's cheating.
He
sticks
must be
on the
cheating.
Back of his sticks.
Someone is feeding him the answers to the test
yes.
because he knows when to go left and right and up and down, and there is no five hole on him. Like with a lot of goalies, you get it through that five hole. He doesn't have one, so it's not fair. So we were trying to figure out what we can do to make things even, because right now it's been all Nashville. They've won all three games, and it's not pleasant. So what do we do to make things even?
Prank call Spike Odell. That's what we should do.
We could do that. All right. But Judy has come up, in her infinite wisdom, has come up with what I think might be the perfect solution to how to make things right. Judy, what would that be?
Voodoo doll.
A voodoo doll.
I have it in the newsroom. It's helped me in the past.
Yeah.
So
not a tutu
just...
doll, because he plays for the Blackhawks. Tutu. It's not him.
Tutu.
This is a voodoo doll.
And I've wrapped the playoff towel around the
him.
Voodoo doll. But I think he's got a little pouch, so I think he needs a piece of hair, maybe one little piece of hair from each of you, because you're really
right.
super fans.
I'll give you one.
All right.
Now,
yeah,
where
but she's
going
to use our DNA to clone us.
Are you going to clone us, Judy?
Hurt us. I don't trust you.
Don't worry. Oh, look at you pulled one out. I got scissors for you, Wendy, if you need them.
There's some.
All right, there's...
You know, I just have to go
have
like
to
this, and I'm sure...
not to clone us.
Okay.
You
Doesn't
promise?
Really work where you have to get it from, like, a player?
You know what, Kevin?
No, we're fans, Kevin.
You need Pekka's hair.
Well, that's the other thing. We could...
Judy,
we
where would you get a voodoo doll, or in your case, because it's you, a slightly used, gently used voodoo doll?
I did not get this at Goodwill.
No?
I got it in New Orleans.
That's
so
where,
it's been
that's
sanctioned.
The,
I mean, it's a real voodoo
That's
doll.
The home of voodoo.
Or as I like to say, Nolens. Yeah.
Nolens.
Nolens.
Yeah,
on I'm Bourbon Street over there.
I got a big split end on the end of this hair. Is that all right?
All right, so you're putting that in the like the towel
portion?
I kind
portion. Of hate hair, and I hate touching it, but...
Mine's clean. I don't know about Bill.
Yours is a lot blonder, too.
It's white. I'm
so
old.
So you must be... you're just cute or adorable,
yeah.
Not beautiful.
Right.
No,
hair.
That's what Bill said, but we found beautiful women that are blonde.
I know.
All right, I have a voodoo doll as well that someone who went to New Orleans
Am
purchased
Am I the only
me.
Person in the world that doesn't have a voodoo
Apparently.
Doll?
Apparently.
Everybody has one.
Let me tell you, I this has helped me.
And it's
me
similar
the
to the one Judy brought in? The
it
voodoo
looks
doll?
Almost identical. And it was brought home to me by someone who visited New Orleans because I've never been there. And that's just a souvenir you get. Obviously, you don't know anybody who's been to New Orleans that bought you a souvenir.
I've been there a bunch of times.
You've never been to New Orleans? You? Wow.
You should
that's
go.
That's your kind of city, girl.
They'd make you the mayor of New Orleans.
They might.
As soon as they saw you, they'd go, the election's over. We have a winner.
I like the beads.
I like parades with oversized heads. So that's the best city
See,
in the world.
See, I don't really like that. That
no?
scares me.
Oh, love oversized heads.
But you've used this voodoo doll in the past?
Yes.
To your advantage?
For
yes.
What,
it's
for
worked.
What
I only use, so here's the thing about the voodoo doll. I only do the positive thing. It's about positive energy.
Until now.
I use the white pin, not the black one.
I didn't know there was a difference.
Yes. And so I'm going to just give him some luck. Here, hold on. Let me
You're
get
putting
you.
Our hair in a,
I'm
in
putting
a
your
small
hair
bag.
In a, the bag that goes around the voodoo doll's neck.
Bill, she's going to take your hair and put a man bun on the voodoo doll.
That's fine.
Do you guys need anything else?
No.
Well,
I
I'm
think
asking.
This is...
So the thing about it is when, you know, you have to be specific. I found.
Yeah.
You can't just say stuff
what,
like
that.
Would
you go oh. to a voodoo class? High
Discovery
priestess
Center.
Class?
Do the lights
Don't
need to be dimmed for the ceremony?
Don't you worry about how I know about this. I just do.
It's so spooky to see because the eyes are big and glittery and the mouth seems like it might bite you.
Yeah, again,
and
it's not
got
a very nice looking voodoo doll.
Colorful array of feathers on the head.
Have you seen a pretty voodoo doll, guys? Because I don't think they make
They do
make
have
pretty.
A variety. I'm telling you,
yeah?
these stores, it's all you can go into like a voodoo doll store. It's
oh.
crazy. Okay, so... It's all good. I'm going to take the pin. I'm going to do it now. Here we go.
All right. And you're placing the pin on
so
where?
So about Kevin's hair?
It has to be with... Okay. Kevin, you want to get... Do you think he's going to give up any of his hair?
Probably not.
Kevin
And
would.
There'll be so much product on it, it'll ruin...
I won't be able to even... It'll just fall through my fingers. Okay. So here we go. We're going to say, listen, Voodoo Doll, give the Blackhawks back their mojo so they can win the Stanley Cup this year.
And what color pin are you placing inside?
The white.
I got goosebumps when she said that. I swear to God.
You said it with a lot of authority, too.
Because you can't, like I said, you have to, you know, I'm all about, like, have you ever read The Secret, the book, The Secret?
Yes,
yeah.
I loved that
I am all about positive thinking.
Right.
I changed a couple years ago. I'm like, I have to stop being negative all the time. And so I'm always positive. And I got to tell you.
You are always positive?
Yeah.
Why don't you shut up? You know what? I've
seen a different side
wow.
of you.
Wow.
No, I'm saying I always try to be. I try to remain positive, and you know, because I do tend to go to the negative side.
But Drew, so I got to be honest. If I was going voodoo like you are, I would go with the negative, and I would put it on par. I would say, okay, this is pecorino. Yeah,
yeah,
I
no.
would.
No,
you
see,
would
it's
stick
the
pin in his
no,
knee, so he breaks his
because
knee.
Because then it'll come yeah. back to bite you. You've got to be the. You guys the pot, yeah.
Put the pin in his five
no,
hole.
No, I will never do that. I don't do the black magic.
That's
even
cool.
though this is a voodoo doll. I do the good magic on the voodoo doll.
Well, that's smart too because she just encompassed the entire Stanley Cup playoffs just now.
Oh,
yes,
yeah, you
I can't
right.
just say let them win because maybe they just win today. No, they have
you
to.
You want the whole thing.
The whole thing.
All right.
You know if they win the Stanley Cup, we're going to have to raise her up on a pedestal and put her in the Stanley Cup.
That's fine.
My voodoo doll
That's
and
worth
I.
it.
We need to take
You'll
a picture
You'll be seeing
of
a
that.
Picture of this all around the city.
Now, do you have to... Do you have to offer up something to the
offer
voodoo
bill.
Gods?
I
guess the hair
I'm busy
kinda,
tonight.
Does
well,
that serve that purpose, or don't you have to offer it something?
No,
exchange?
Not really. You
no?
just have to remain positive.
Get
I'm all positive. It's all good. It's not. That's why I didn't want to really do anything against the Predators.
Sure.
We don't want the bad stuff. We want the good stuff. They're going to win. Got to be right. positive.
All right.
Everyone wear their jersey on Thursday, and this whole city better be red.
Yeah.
And I don't mean with blood. I mean with jerseys.
Right. All right, that's fair.
Bill, I saw a picture of you on your Facebook page of you and your lovely daughter Kylie at a Blackhawks game, and you were wearing your Blackhawks sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you never wear it, like, in public, only when you go to a game. Why is that? Because I think you should wear it Thursday.
No, there have been days that I wear it if,
like,
I know
two?
I'm going. Well, I don't get to go to that many games.
But, I mean, just wear it because
wear
they're
it
playing.
For wearing it? Yeah, I guess I could do that.
Thursday.
I mean, because you were talking earlier in your show about what you can
what
do.
What we can do.
You should be every day from every 5 minutes from now on till Thursday, you should be telling everyone in Chicago to wear their sweaters, your jerseys.
Right.
Right? How that would be a great show of support for the Hawks.
The whole city.
The whole city.
On Thursday.
All right.
I think you should call Mayor Emanuel and get him to
see if he wants
a proclamation. Okay. It should be
Does he have a jersey?
It should be an ordinance for a day.
Because I got an old Shaw one I can give him. We don't wear it anymore.
Yeah, mine has probably a name on it that's
no longer with the Blackhawks.
It's okay. It's just the Hawks. It's still the Hawks.
Let's go. She is really positive. And you know the difference between me and a Judy Pilak is I read The Secret and I really kind of bought into it and I really felt changed in positivity, and that lasted about 2 days.
Because it's hard to be positive. That's what I was trying to tell
it
you.
It really
I
is.
I work at it all the time. Let me tell you, when I read it, I got some good stuff.
You don't have to say what The Secret is because that's the purpose of the
book.
It's
not really a secret.
No, it's not. It's being positive. It's using your positive mental attitude to change things, or I shouldn't have said get things. Like, for example, I needed a new roof.
Yeah.
And it was just weighing on me. I had this huge, beautiful house, and I was like, I need a new roof. And I just, for a few months, really used that, and I got a new roof.
Oh, you did?
The birds flew and put a new roof on her house. It was
that's the
song
thing.
Of the South.
A tornado came by and damaged my roof.
Oh.
So I got a new roof from the
insurance company.
Yeah. So, I mean, no one was killed.
How far after you're reading The Secret?
So close that so many of my neighbors were, like, frightened of me a little bit.
Like, were you finishing
the last page? They thought I was a witch because I kept saying it.
Were you, like, right on the last page about to turn it, go, I've read the book, and then the tornado came?
No, it was like, it was a couple months only.
That's pretty recent.
I kept saying to myself, you know what? I know I need a new roof. This is really weighing on me, but it's going to all be okay. It's going to work out.
What happened to you after you read 50 Shades of Grey? You can't say, can you? Even on the stream, you can't say.
I read maybe 30 pages of
that
book
not
and
read
put it down and said, this is the dumbest. No, I
did
really?
Not
read.
Read the book or see the movie.
Absolutely
Nor
not.
Did I.
No, because the book was ridiculous. Yeah. I can't read a ridiculous book. I have to read a good book.
Like the Twilight series?
Okay, that was better than 50 Shades of Grey of the first 50 pages I read.
All right.
Can I just give you an example of The Secret? Pre-reading the book, I would, if I was going to run into a Marshalls or TJ's because I needed dress pants for the boys, if I found a parking spot, like the first spot, like Rockstar Parking, that in my head would be like, I got a good parking spot. That means they're not going to have what I want. That's the opposite of The Secret. What you got to do is, oh, look, the universe provided me front row parking.
You're on
and
a
now
roll.
I'm exactly.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great analogy. And think about it. Even if it doesn't work out, you're still in a good mood and you're still positive.
You know and you got a good parking spot.
Yes. And because it's all about, really, think of the people who walk around with a smile on their face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all about a good positive attitude. And
I am
good
so
things
negative.
Happen. And even when bad things happen, they put a good spin on it. So it's, you know, it's only good. It's good for your stress level, for your health, everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's for me, it's hard work to be positive.
Oh,
I know, because I'm like Wendy. I got a space. No, they're not. I mean, that sort of is the same kind of thing. I always catch myself.
As though you've used up your good luck on something that really is parking space.
Right.
Why would I use my good luck on
that? So they're not going to have what I need at the store. Oh. But in essence, you should go Rockstar Parking. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to find what I need. It's going to be on sale.
Yep.
And I'm going to get some gum.
It's going to look good. That gum's going to be damn
and there's
delicious.
Gum. And there's gum on top of
because
it.
Because really the bottom line is, it's like, woe is me. In my case, it's like, okay, get you know,
what next?
That's what happens when I get into my, you know, negative attitude. Oh, you know, why me? And no.
Can I tell you when it would have, if I were you, here's when it would have changed. When you beat cancer, that's when I would have said, the stars are aligning in my direction.
You know
Didn't
what?
You do
that's
that a
so
little
funny
bit?
You
How far
that?
After reading The Secret did you beat cancer?
That is exactly when everything changed for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I bet.
That's when I said, done. I'm done being negative.
Yeah.
I'm going to be positive. And, you know, right around that time when I was trying to remain positive and not die. And that's, I changed.
And you kicked cancer's ass.
Because you know what I would do? I would take like a little slight from people.
Yeah.
And blow it out of proportion.
Oh,
I still do
in
that.
My head. Yeah, like at night, I'd like sit there and I would just make it worse. Like I'd go back to it, was like, oh my gosh, it was the stupidest little thing. And but it was like my little game, you know. And I had to completely change that and just not let it bother me or just, you know, chalk it up to whatever. And I mean it. Yeah. So now it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Since I was since I went through
that's
the cancer.
Awesome.
So I know. Thank you. So it's 10 years later. I'm like kind of. I find myself, I gotta stay positive still.
Because it's been working.
Yes, and it's hard. It's hard to change.
When my mom was first diagnosed with cancer, she had it, then was in remission, and then it came back like right before my wedding. She died a month after our wedding. And the first time she had her bout with cancer, it was a very slow-growing cancer. She went to this... the symposium, if you will. My sister took her to this positivity speaker, and she was basically saying, you need to envision the cancer cells in your body, and you're like Pac-Man, and you're going to go eat them and get rid of it, and you're going to survive. And astoundingly, she was very positive, and it was in remission for quite some time. So your mental state really has everything to do with the rest
right.
of you.
Yes, absolutely.
No
you
question.
Need a secret.
Could you hold a symposium?
Have
can
a symposium,
I go to it?
Judy. Come
you,
on.
Do you really think I'm that positive? Come on.
All right.
You've proven it today.
People would show up and be like, why is she up there? I'm like more positive than her. Yeah, no. No, so, it's a constant work in progress.
Yeah.
It is. I'm not saying I'm.
You're right. Not perfect.
I'm
so the less
we're near. And I've, 10 years later, I've fallen a little bit. It's like rehab. I have to get back on track. And, but lately, so the Hawks, look at that.
Yes.
What better time?
The that's
Hawks
the
are,
message. Stay positive.
Yes.
I still think you should put a black pin in it and pretend it's Forsberg, but that's just me. Just
no,
consider it.
No,
just think about it.
Let's not go there. Let's stay positive because it's going to all be about the positive
yes.
energy in the world.
Thanks, Jude.
She frightens me when she's
very
like this.
Positive. Ooh, very
yeah.
positive. We'll take a quick break.
Thanks,
and then I'll
Jude.
Tell you about the guy who I think is the father of the year. I'll tell you about a guy who did something so above and beyond the call. Stick around, Bill and Woody, WGN.
I feel like doing a little dancing around pig roast.
Why wouldn't you?
This has that tropical
the weather's
feel.
Perfect for it, and if you're in the mood, you do that, Wendy. No one's going to stop you.
Can I just interrupt what you're going to say? I know you haven't started yet, but
yeah.
there were so many people of the Greek religion. It was Greek Easter as well as regular Easter,
yes.
traditional Easter.
Yes.
And I saw so many people post pictures of lamb's heads. On Facebook,
heads?
Like raw, like they're going to cook it.
Oh.
So,
oh.
I don't know why that made me think. I said pig roast, and I saw a lot of skinned lamb heads on Facebook. That was not a very happy
like
Easter for me.
That.
My non-Greek Easter was ruined.
May I nominate the man who I believe is the absolute father of the year? A man
Would
who
it be
did
you?
Something. No, it's not me.
You're a pretty good dad.
I'm a good dad, but I don't think I would do what Ben Sowards did. He found out that his young daughter, I want to make sure I get the facts on this right. Hold on a
just
second.
Just the facts.
I only want
ma'am.
All right. He's got a 6-year-old daughter, and he's got a lot of kids, too. I'm trying to find 13 children.
What?
Yeah.
Catholic?
Yes. Actually, some of the kids, he comes from a family. This is really nice. He and his wife, they're always doing nice things. Not only do they have their own natural children, but they have adopted a bunch of children from other places as well. One of his kids is a 6-year-old girl, and he finds out that the girl was having a bad day. She's in second grade, and she wet her pants. As
it
kids
happens.
Will sometimes do.
It happens.
So he did something that I would never have thought of to make her feel better. When he picked her up, he got word that she was very upset and that she had wet her pants, and he came to pick her up. And what this guy did, Ben Sowards, is he decided that he would also wet his pants. He didn't actually wet them. He just
glass
took,
of water.
Yeah, he took a glass of water and splashed it where it needed to be splashed. And then when he came and picked her up, he explained to her that it wasn't the worst thing in the world and that people do it, and he did it, and it made her happy, and the rest of the day was a good one. Isn't that like the nicest thing you
yes.
ever heard?
And that's what a parent's job is supposed to be. Yes, provide for them. But then when they get old enough to learn things, it's supposed to be teaching experiences.
Right.
Throughout all of their life, and I have probably dropped the ball on some things.
Why do you say that?
It's just, it's, you know, you teach them wrong from right, and then they're their own little people, and you hope that they're going to do well, and so far, so good.
Right.
But something like that, you know, is just a life lesson. Like, you know what? Everybody has a day that doesn't go right, and bad things are going to happen, and you know what? Tomorrow's another day. That is like the best life lesson.
When I was a kid, there was a man who lived across the street from me. His name was Paul. And Paul's job was he worked for Ozinga, the people that make
the
concrete.
The construction, yeah.
Yeah.
I see the trucks.
They're like the, I think they're like the top concrete place in the Midwest. You see their trucks all the time, the red and white trucks that say Ozinga. All right. Paul was, like his job would imply, he was a big, strong concrete guy, you know? And he had two sons, and every night, you know, he would go in at night, and he would give them a goodnight kiss, and they would go to sleep. And this is a story that I got relayed to me from his kids. And one time, for whatever reason, he was just downstairs watching a baseball game, and he didn't make it up in time. They went to sleep without him going up and saying goodnight and giving them a goodnight kiss. He felt so bad about it that he came home from work the next day and spent the rest. He took a half a day. He went to work the next day feeling awful that he missed that goodnight moment with his sons. Then he said to his boss, "I got to take the rest of the day off." And he came home and he spent the rest of the day with the boys just to make up for the fact that he forgot to say goodnight and give him a goodnight kiss at night. And even though I was a kid when I heard that story, I went, that's the kind of thing a parent should do, is when something doesn't go quite the right way, you do whatever it takes to fix it.
That is what it is.
Isn't that nice?
God, we are like turning into old men and women sitting around on our porch with, I've got an Afghan on my lap.
I'm whittling right now. During the show, I don't know how to whittle. I hope I'm doing it right, but I'm whittling.
We're talking about being a good parent.
Kevin,
about
get off
half
the
of
lawn
our,
in there.
Half our
the
life
lawn.
Is I just, over.
I just watered it.
You're going to make a great old man. Can I tell you?
And when? In about 20 minutes? At 1:15, I will make a great old man. Kevin, did my Vitalis come in? Did you check the mailroom? I think I have been Vitalis and Bengay.
Is that hair cream on steroids?
Yeah, it's hair cream on steroids.
There you go there. Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know. It just gets kind of depressing, you know, so you can't think about it. And I shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't say this on the air, but I'm going to.
It's the stream, Wendy. There's no rules. You say whatever you want.
No, but I don't mean to hurt anybody because there are people that I know that are older than I am.
What?
And there are people that are in their 80s. And a lot of these people have called us.
Yeah.
And I get sad because it's like, they're scared sometimes to answer the phone because another friend of theirs has died.
Yeah,
and it's just like, I don't know. How come you don't feel sorry for yourself and don't get out of bed?
Well, you can't do that. You can't live your life that way.
I know, but
I'm just the opposite in that I keep meeting people that are in their 80s, their 90s. And I've told you about this guy that my wife knows, Bud, who's 101 years old and is sharp as a tack. He lives in a retirement center that my wife works at from time to time. She teaches improv there. And even though there's an elevator, he lives on the third floor, he takes the stairs up and down every day. He doesn't want to be lazy and take the elevator, and he's 101.
God love him.
Yeah. Oh, it takes him all day to get up the three stairs.
But at least he does it.
He does it.
You know, I started thinking about those retirement homes, or what are we supposed to call them now, assisted living.
Yes.
I'm going to a cooking class slash competition with three of my girlfriends tonight. The four of us will be going, and we're making gnocchi, and it's some kind of cooking class slash competition.
Yeah.
I don't know if they check our knife skills or whatever. But I was thinking about this as I'm getting ready to pack a bottle of wine and some beer because it's BYOB.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know what? Those assisted living centers might not be so bad if I could live like down the hall from my girlfriends.
Right.
That would be like college all over again. But with crafts.
Right. That's how they bill themselves. It's like college with crafts.
That sounds awesome.
Right. Right.
I mean, if you get some people that you're friends with you live in this community,
then what's wrong with that?
I am all for it.
Right.
Will they let me have a dog?
I don't know.
I bet some do.
Yeah, maybe. All right, maybe.
I can't wait. And I'll let you know.
I think they allow older dogs. I think that's the restriction. I'm pretty sure they're adamant. You can have a pet, but it has to be an older pet in keeping with the ways of the facility. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
If marketing isn't your middle name, I don't know what is.
It's Wayne.
Yes, I knew that.
It was, my parents narrowed it down to two, marketing and Wayne. They went with Wayne.
William Wayne.
Right.
When you get in trouble with the law, right, we'll be ready.
People will go, it makes sense. Look at his middle name. It's Wayne. Of course he went nuts. The official name of going nuts. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, Wendy, but the old clock on the wall says...
Don't say old, because you are so depressing tonight, today. Whatever. It's 4 o'clock.
Right.
That's nighttime for me. Right. So right now it's evening.
Are you going to the Naps Buffet for all-you-can-eat tapioca?
No, I'm going to my cooking class tonight, and I will report on it tomorrow because I am very excited about this.
Bring us some gnocchi.
You won't eat things I make.
I won't, but Kevin will.
That's true, I will.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin has wet his pants in solidarity with the story that I read 10 minutes ago. He didn't have to. He just wanted to. Thank you, Kevin. Team player.
It's actually just a
coincidence. All right. That's the Tuesday show. Hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow, we've got the Wednesday show. So if you thought the Tuesday show was good, you might be impressed by the Wednesday show.
Wednesday. Next week, we should do them out of order.
Right, I'll do that.
All right.
Next week, out of order week here on the... Here on the Fun House. All right, that's it. That's the bonus hour. You got
and
what you paid for.
And it was a bonus, yes.
Yeah. Everybody, you don't complain. You got exactly what you paid for. All right, stick around. There's nothing next. Bye.